God bless. Welcome to a short time this morning where we get together and look into a little bit of the Word of God and pray. This is the second Sunday we've had to cancel due to storm, and for that I am not so happy. But the Lord knows what He's doing. We trust that you're reading the Word and praying and being able to hear from the Lord, even though we're not getting together and fellowshipping. We're going to start with a word of prayer, ask the Lord to be here with us and minister to each and every one that has joined our transmission. Lord, we thank you for this day, even with the storm. For this we thank you. We pray, Lord, that you will bless all those that have joined us. We pray that your Spirit will meet every need. We pray that in spite of the fact that we can't be together, that the Holy Ghost will bind us together. In Jesus' name, bless each one, we pray. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a new list of prayer, but we haven't been able to give that to you since we have been together, but we've added a couple of prayer requests to that. For those who would like to have that list, if you'll let me know, I'll email it to you. God bless you. I've been reading through the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and I'm impressed with a lot of things new that I've seen. And one of the things that has really amazed me is Moses' relationship with the Lord. All through those five books, he is indeed a hero of the faith. And his relationship with the Lord, remember, is Old Testament. It's not New Testament. It's not the same type of relationship we can have now. But there's one thing that impressed me. When he went up on Mount Sinai and met with the Lord, he asked the Lord to allow him to see him. And the Lord said he couldn't because flesh cannot see God and live. So he asked the Lord to do whatever was possible to allow him to see him. And the Lord hid him in a crevice in the rock, and in that crevice, the Lord passed by his back, Jehovah's back, and the impact was immediate and it was profound. When Moses returned from being on top of the mountain and Israel saw him, they had to put a veil over his face because it shone brightly, just as brightly as the sun. He was transfigured through a relationship with God. There's a verse that I'd like to read found in Luke chapter 9, verse 29. Luke chapter 9, verse 29. Listen to this verse. I'm reading it out of the New King James. Luke chapter 9, verse 29. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistened. This is Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Let me read that from Matthew's account, because I like Matthew's account better. It's found in the 17th chapter of Matthew, starting with verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to the Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Seven mountaintop experiences. We could call them mountaintop experiences of Jesus when he was here. Number one, his birth. Number two, his baptism. Number three, his temptation. Number four, his transfiguration. Number five, his crucifixion. Number six, his resurrection. And number seven, his ascension. The transfiguration is the fourth, therefore is right smack dab in the middle of the seven, three on one side and three on the other side. I think it was a red letter date in the lives of the three apostles that were with him on top of that mountain. And God emphasized the fact that everything Jesus was doing was according to his will. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, we won't see this until the Lord returns and raptures us out of here, and we return with him in the second coming. But what we can see now is vitally important. We live in a day and age when Christians' perception of God and Christians' perception of how to live for God has become distorted by numerous doctrines and heresies, the internet, books that have been written. And my perception of God must originate, it must be developed, and it must have its importance based on the Word of God, only the Word of God. All these other peripherals can enhance my perception, but my perception must originate in the Word of God. Now, we're talking about God, so therefore, my perception of God must originate with God himself. There is no easy way to know God other than through communication with God. That's how we get to know each other. We can know of somebody, but we don't know somebody until we meet them and we have a chance to converse with them. And the longer we have a relationship with them and the closer the relationship is, the better we know that person. So I have to start. The Bible says Jesus was transfigured as he prayed. If the Son of God needed to talk to his Father on a regular basis, how much more I and you need to talk to God on a regular basis. He went up that mountain with a specific objective, and that was to pray. He went up on the mountain to pray, and as he prayed, what happened to Jesus can happen to you and I. Someone said, I wish I could really know God. I wish I could really understand who God is. Well, it happens through three ways and three ways only. Number one, the reading of the Word of God. Number two, communication with God. And number three, our relationship with the body of Christ. That's how it happens. Jesus was gradually, we are gradually transfigured through prayer. Jesus was not. He was transfigured instantly. We're transfigured progressively through prayer. I need to know God, and I need to know God inwardly. I need to know God inside. Because when I know God, it's going to change the way I view life. A lot of people have a great difficulty with their circumstances. They have difficulty with their past. They have difficulty with their future, and this causes them to have anxiety about their future. Their present causes anxiety in the future. Their past influences their perception of the present. God never intended it to be that way. That's why Calvary erases my past. Now, I know I don't forget what has happened in the past, but the influence of the past on me and on my present and my future should be changed by my relationship with God. And a lot of people don't have that. We look at our circumstances, we look at our problems, we look at our politics, we look at our economy, we look at all that, and that becomes distorted. That view becomes distorted when we don't have a correct view of how God sees us and how God sees our circumstances. That can only happen through the Word of God and through prayer. The disciples saw Jesus in a different light when they were up there with him on the mountain in prayer. Real prayer takes me from here and puts me in the presence of God. Communication with God takes me from my present circumstances and transfigures me by transporting me into the presence of God. When we pray, we climb the Mount of God. And on that hilltop of communion with God, we're going to see things in a different light. We're going to see things as God sees them. Now, will they be less important? Maybe not. But how they affect us will be of less importance to us personally, because we're trusting the Lord. We're depending on God. We often speak of getting a bird's eye view. If you've driven down the interstate through the mountains, you can go here west of us through the Berkshires, and you can go east through the Catskills, west through the Catskills, and east through the Berkshire. And every now and again on a good road, there will be a outlook, an overlook. I remember getting caught on Route 9 through the Berkshire when I was itinerating, and it was in the fall of the year, and the colors were vibrant, they were beautiful, and that road was at 15 miles an hour because everybody was looking. And when you got to the overlook, that was a parking lot on the side of the road, there wasn't any place to park, and people were parked and lined up on the side of the road. They were getting a bird's eye view of the spectacular fall foliage from a high vantage point. And that's what happens when we get with God in prayer. We get a summit view, you could say, an overlook. We get a bird's eye view of what God is doing. If you've ever flown on a plane, how big do the mountains look? How big do the cars look, if you can even see them? When the plane's first taken off and you're going up, you'll notice how things get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's what happens when we get on the mountaintop with the Lord. Many of my faults, estimates, and perceptions are fixed. They're rectified. They're made different. They're made better. When I get up there, my ambitions, my plans, my labors, my worries, my anxieties, my cares get and fall into true proportions. They're not now bigger than my God. They're not now bigger than my circumstances. They are life. When I'm lifted above the world in which I daily live and I daily have to relate to, when I'm moved into the presence of God, I begin to see things with the eye of heaven. I begin to see things not with my eyes, but with the eyes of God. There's a verse that I like in Exodus 33. Let me read that for you. Exodus 33, verse 13. And then I'm going to also read Deuteronomy 34, 10. Exodus 33, 13 says this: "And therefore I pray, if I've found grace in your sight," this is what I was talking about originally when I talked about Moses on Mount Sinai in the presence of God. "Now therefore, I pray, if I've found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 34, that's the end of the book, and we'll read verse 10. Next, the third to the last verse in the book. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. If Moses could know God face to face, I can know God face to face. You can know God face to face. It will probably be in the same manner, but we have the Holy Spirit now that can show us God, can show us the things of God. Now, my view of life is going to be transformed, but it's going to also transform my view of God. This is real bothersome to me today. We have, because of the many resources available to Christians, we have many, many Christians and many churches with a distorted view of God. Who is God? What is God like? What is God's character? And people just seem to want to adopt what people are telling them rather than getting into the Word of God and discovering what God says. Remember, there's certain facts I must keep in mind. I must keep in mind that from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it is the Word of God. It must agree with itself. It must teach me my interpretation of God and my interpretation of the world. Not the fantastic resources. They may enhance my view of God. They may enhance my interpretation of the world, but of the Word, but they cannot determine those things. Those things must start in the Word of God. Someone said, but you know, the Old Testament doesn't have much value today. Wrong. My view of God, my knowledge of the character of God is established in the Old Testament. That's where it's established. And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that does not change. His character in the Old Testament, his dealing with Israel, will be like his character in the New Testament, like his dealing with me now. When I understand that, then I can become more like God, because I'll have a true interpretation of who God is. Now, varied revelations today. Everybody has a revelation today, don't they? I mean, that's how people start, with podcasts and with internet pages and with internet books and with books that are written and published that are solid, and books like old time books that we read and we don't look at a screen. That's how that's all established. But we need to understand the organ of my perception is my vision. It's my spiritual vision. And my spiritual vision must be aided by the Holy Spirit. God's real plain in that. Look what Paul said in Ephesians. We are now studying on Wednesday nights in our Bible study. We're studying the rapture of the church, but we're going to study the book of Ephesians when we get done this. But the book of Ephesians is fantastic. Listen to this verse in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Listen to what it says. Now, just back up a little bit. He starts in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, verse 18, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Your understanding, verse 18, being enlightened by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible's a dead letter unless the Holy Ghost inspires it. That's why the unsaved can't understand the Bible. That's why Christians that don't allow the working of the Holy Spirit in them when they read the Word of God can't get anything out of it. I must be yielded to the Lord to understand what His Word says. So when I understand this, then I get the origins of all I believe from the Word of God primarily. If what I read and what I hear doesn't agree with the Word of God, then it doesn't agree with the Bible, it's not from God. And if I have a question about what I hear and what I read, I can ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten my understanding through the Word of God. You know what? He'll do exactly that. That's exactly what He will do. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. Listen to what that says. Paul understood this principle. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But we who are spiritual judge, the New King James says judge, you can translate that discern all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. He's rightly discerned by no one. We belong to God. We discern who God is. We understand who God is. We intellectually know who God is through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says it can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Many distortions today. Like I said before, many distortions today. And in prayer and in the study of the Word, my view of God will be transfigured. Not just my view of life, not just my perception of what happens around me, but my view of God will be transfigured. No longer will it become distorted. No longer will it be something the devil can use to discourage me. Keep in mind that if what I'm thinking about, if what is bothering me is discouraging, it's negative, it's making me sad, it's getting me down, it can't be from God, because that's not the way God operates. You say, someone said to me, yeah, but you know, sometimes the Lord disciplines us. Yes, He does, but His discipline is always positive, and it always edifies and builds us up. It never tears us down. God's intent is not that we are discouraged and torn down. His intent is to educate us, to build us up, to sanctify us, to cause us to become more like Christ. And as He does this, we grow in the Lord, and we can see things correctly. There's some things God can't share with us. There's some things we can't know. We have a real problem here. You know, whenever there's a catastrophe like what happened in Munich this last week, what happened, the planes that went down in Philadelphia and in Washington, the catastrophe of the fires in California, all these catastrophes, all these problems, all these difficulties, and you know what the press does? Immediately they want to know why. Well, it happened. To know why may help me prevent it, but it won't help me understand anything, because some things are beyond our understanding. Some things God will not share with us. And because he will not, he cannot share them with us because we can't understand them, then we get all upset because we need to know everything. Well, we don't. We just need to know God. We just need to know who Jesus is. We just need to know the Holy Spirit and trust and yield to his work in our lives. God never told Job the reason for all the disasters that were happening to him. No more than he can tell us sometimes why we're going through the trial we're going through. But he does say one thing, just lean on me. Because nothing can happen to you that I haven't always already designed the method and the means of escape. So when I ask you to go through a trial, the Lord says in his word, I will give you the way out before you get in the trial. And then in the trial, I'm going to show you how to walk, which way you need to go. When I get up on the mountaintop of prayer, when I get up on the mountaintop of the study of the Word of God, when I put this first in my life, and I put obedience of this first in my life, then what happens is everything falls into perspective. Everything falls into perspective. God invests his power and his knowledge in those who are willing to put him first and obey him. If I'm not willing to do that, then probably I won't have all that I could have of God. And who suffers in that situation? I do. And those around me, because I can't help them. I can't pull them up. My relationship with you, my relationship with God, my relationship with others ought to always be something that edifies and pulls them up. I'm not here. You're not here. We're not here to tear each other up. We're here to edify and to pull each other up. That's what God wants of us. I want to see God in everything. Where are you in this circumstance? It's tough. It's hard. My family relationship may be fractured. My health might be fractured. My finances may be fractured. But where are you in all this? Well, I'll find him when I look to him, when I put him first and understand him. So I'll begin to see God everywhere. I'll begin to see him everywhere in my daily life and in the world I live. I'll begin to see him everywhere in history, and I'll begin to see him everywhere in what's happening in my life. I pray that the Lord will help us all understand this. And we will use the word of God to interpret every circumstance we're in. Not what other people are saying, not what I'm seeing on the internet, but what I'm seeing in the word of God. I will study it until I know. You know, I read parts of the word even to this day, and I've read it through, I don't know, countless times, but I find parts. I'm in Leviticus, and I'm finding parts that I had not seen before. And I'm saying, wow, that's interesting, but I don't understand that. So I make a note. And then as I'm reading on further, then I find the answer to that. I practiced that when I was taking tests in high school and college. The tests would be put in front of me, and I'd read it through. Because many of the teachers would answer one question that was previous in a subsequent question that followed. And as I read it through, I found those links. And that's what we need to do in the Word of God. As we read it, we don't understand it, make a note. Send me a text, send me an email. Call me, oh, that's what I prefer. Call me, ask me, maybe I can help. Maybe I can't, but maybe I can find out for you and help you in that understanding. That's what we're here for. Communicate with one another and let us help each other find what God is saying. Now next Sunday, we need to pray hard all week long that next Sunday we'll be able to get together and we'll be able to have church, because I want to see you. I miss you guys. And I want to get together and worship together. Now, as we go to the Lord in prayer to end this morning, I want to remember John Miller. He's 92 years old, longtime member of the church, and he fell. And now he's recovering. Thank God he's getting better as we've prayed. We need to pray for Jenny's mother, Shirley. She needs God to touch her back. She's having spasms. That's difficult. We need to pray for a friend of the church's, his mother, that God would heal her. God knows her name. We need to pray for a 95-year-old that's recovering from a broken hip. And we have two families that are looking our way as they are mourning the death of loved ones. We're going to pray that the Lord would comfort them. That's what he said he would do. And a missionary, Gary, is recovering from surgery. And we've got many in our church that are asking the Lord for healing and for a touch from God. During this week, if you have any prayer requests, please email or text them to me so that we can get them on the list and we can pray. Wednesday night, we'll be praying for these as we gather for our Bible study at 7 o'clock. So make sure you get these to me so that we together can ask the Lord. The Lord's answered many prayers, and we're believing him to continue to answer prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the Spirit of God that you have sent. You have put him in our lives to influence us, to teach us. You said that when he came, he would guide us into all truth. We thank you, Lord. And many people in our congregation that may be even watching this morning needs a touch from you. They need to understand what they're going through. They need to understand how their circumstances fit in your plan. And I know you can't tell us everything, but you can cause us to be encouraged and edified in Jesus' name. We're believing you, Lord. You see all these requests that the ones we've mentioned and all that are listed on this list, and we're raising them before you this morning, and we're believing you to undertake in each and every life those that are sick. By your stripes we are healed. We pray that you'll touch it by your power. Lord, those that are in mourning, we pray, Lord, that by your power you will comfort them. Let life come out of death. Let light come out of darkness. Let Jesus be glorified in these circumstances, we pray. And Lord, we're going to look with expectancy to see what you've done in each and every one of these situations. Bless your people. Protect them this week. Give them somebody they can lead to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And glorify your Son in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Need anything? Make sure you call me. Amen.